Thank you, Jenny. Jenny's birthday. Y'all say happy birthday, Jenny.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. When was it? Yesterday? Today. Oh, it's today. It's actually today. Okay, cool. I meant to sing in the last service. I forgot it again. Oh, okay. I got a bunch of scripture that we're going to read together today. We're just going to go ahead and jump into it. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. Turn to the book of Colossians. If you don't have a Bible, I'm going to encourage you to get one from one of our ushers. They're going to walk the aisle here for you, and let them bring you one and use it. Let God speak to you through His Word today. I'm just going to tell you, there is no way on the planet Earth that what we're talking about today, that God's Word that we're looking at today, won't probably just mess with you at least a little bit. And for some of us, it's going to jack your world up a little bit. And that's okay, because sometimes that's what we need and God knows it. But we're talking today about yet another one another. And we've been talking about the one another's, and we're doing so today. And so as we talk through this today, I just want you to know that I already, like this morning, I found myself like getting really passionate, and then like in hindsight, like wondering, am I sounding too preachy? And I know that you're like, you're a preacher. That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah, and no, my thing is like I never preach to like guilt people. That's never my thing. So if anything comes across that way, just remember I'm preaching to myself. And that's generally what I'm doing when this happens. So when I get really passionate, a lot of times it's because I'm preaching at me. And so just being at the end of all this, I think today we can walk away being encouraged with the truth of the gospel and what God has and promises that He has made for us and things that He's done for us. And that's amazing. And so we will rest in that. And in between here and there, we may get a little jacked up. Okay, here we go. Colossians chapter 3 is where we're starting today. And as we start here today, I want to just encourage you. You're going to immediately start thinking of people. We're talking about today, the one another we're talking today about today is forgive one another. Forgive one another. And so, I mean, right away, you may attach faces, names, situations, awful things that have happened in your life where you go, I can't forgive someone here, or I can't forgive someone for that, or whatever it is. And I want to encourage you today, be open-minded. I'm not going to force anything on you, but I am going to share the truth of the gospel. And in the midst of doing that, there's going to be some stuff that's hard to swallow, because here's the truth of it. As long as we hold a grudge against someone else, that is sin in our hearts. And let me tell you something about sin. Sin destroys. And so I don't think that any of us here today could honestly say, you know what, I'm okay with having ticking time bombs in my heart. I'm okay with continuing to allow my heart to be destroyed over the fact that I will never let go of something that somebody has done against me, which is a lot of times what we do. And so just hear that as we get into this. Colossians 3, verse 12, it says this. It says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Now we're going to stop. We're going to take a break. We're going to kind of talk a little bit about this. We're going to go, but and then we're going to read the rest in here in just a second of this little snippet, and then I'm going to work backwards through the whole thing, which just confused half of you at least. This passage is Paul writing to the church at Colossae, and it's a letter, and he sent this letter, and he's always sending these letters. Most of the books in the New Testament are letters that were sent to actual churches, and they're sometimes very specific on purpose, because he has heard or knows about certain things that they are struggling with and dealing with. And so as Paul is writing these letters, he's being very specific about certain things a lot of times. But the truth is that what he's saying across the board applies to us as the church and as the body of believers, which is the church, and for all of us as individuals. And so as we read through this, it's going to challenge us a little bit, but I want you to pay attention to kind of what he's doing. One of the things that I've noticed as I've been studying through several of the one another so far during this series is that I see Paul a lot of times using the one another's to try to bring unity to a body of believers. And the truth is we're called to that. And that's where he's going with a lot of this. And so a lot of this of like, you know, where he's talking about this, he's talking about them, people outside the church, but he's really specifically speaking to the church that they would forgive one another in this particular instance. Not that they would just forgive one another, but they would, he says even bearing with one another. You know, so that we would show each other grace, that we would be willing to deal with one another, even though we might be knuckleheads at times. The church is full of sinners. Your family is full of sinners. Your coworkers are sinners. The greatest people that we love on earth are sinners. And we all let each other down at times. And that's part of it. But we're called to bear with one another. And it says in this passage, I want you to kind of get a feel for this. What Paul is writing when he's writing this snippet is that he's writing about the new life that we have in Christ. And let me encourage you today. As we're talking about forgiving one another, let me encourage you to think about the fact that we have a new life in Christ. Because the temptation for us is when we hear about forgiving somebody, where the temptation for us is immediately to go, I can't do that. I can't do that. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they've done to me. And I'm not lessening anything that anybody has ever done to anybody, okay? But I want us to understand something today is that we've been called to do something that God has done for us, we've been called to do for others. And the truth is that we hold ourselves as slaves to sin when we choose to continue to hold the grudge, when we are no longer willing to listen to reason of the gospel, we got to pay attention to what that's saying in our own hearts. We're saying, God, I know better than you. And you and I both know that that's that's baloney. You and I both know where that ends us up at. It always ends us up in a bad place. God always knows better than us, even when it's hard. Even when it includes suffering. It says this, we'll start verse 12 again. Put on then as God's chosen ones. Remember, he's writing about this new life that we have in Christ. Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. I mean, we could all spend all week just studying that one verse and go, how am I living that this week? Bearing with one another. And if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And so we have this complaint against one another deal. And I think that that's interesting because I think for most of us, I mean, we love being able to have an opinion. And our opinion can be that I'm going to have a complaint against you. And my complaint is valid because my opinion really matters. Right? No, that's what we want to think, right? We have set ourselves up for failure on the get-go when we live our life thinking that our opinion matters above everything else. When you go, well, Chris, it's my opinion. Yes, I know. But sometimes our opinion doesn't match the gospel. And when our opinions don't match the gospel, we've got to look at that. Because our opinions are not greater than God's. And in this passage, when he says, bearing with one another, he's saying, show one another grace. You know, give each other a break, right? If one has a complaint against another, now, right here, this is where we think, if one's got a complaint against another, then that's where we immediately find the suggestion box, you know, right? We love the suggestion boxes, don't we? You know, I'm going to write them up. Let me speak to your manager. Right? Anybody had to do that one lately? Let me speak to your manager. And sometimes you have to, you know, to get things done or whatever. But he says, opposite of what we would normally think, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So you got a complaint against somebody else? Somebody within the church? Somebody outside of the church? You know what Paul says? grow up, get over it, move on, forgive one another. Not exactly what we want to hear all the time, is it? I mean, we like our opinions. We like being right. Verse 14, it goes on. We're going to come back to 13 here in a minute. Verse 14 goes on, I want to read. It says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." And from the get-go of the series, we've been talking about love one another and how that's almost kind of like a blanket deal through this. And Locke's actually found this awesome graphic deal and this guy where this guy had studied the one another's this week, and we were looking at it, and he kind of breaks it down. And it's got different sections, and one of the sections is love one another. And I agree with what he did, but I also still agree that they all still fall under one another, love one another. And we'll see that, because in verse 14 it says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." So this is talking about God's love. Again, this is talking about the new self, right? Paul's teaching us to live this new life, a new self in Christ. And we've been talking about God's love and how much powerful, more powerful God's love is than our love, because our love is just, you know, it's sinful, you know, half the time. And then what God's love is perfect and powerful. Okay? Because it's His love. I mean, like, He changes people with His love. We can't do that. We can just, like, you know, make people feel better about themselves or something. With this, he says, above all these things, put on love. So put it on God's love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So what he's saying is, this is the beginnings of how you're going to go about forgiving one another. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. He goes on in verse 15 and he says this, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." So Paul is giving us pieces of a puzzle and helping us to see what it looks like. Not just, he doesn't just say, "Hey, just go forgive each other. Just get over it and go forgive each other." He gives actual pieces of the puzzle of what it looks like for us to live this out, and how through the gospel we can actually do this. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let me ask you a question. Has your week this week been a week of having a peaceful heart? Some of you went on spring break this week. Some of you had to stand in lines with children this week. God bless you. There is very little peace in people's hearts when they're usually doing those things, isn't there? Here's the truth. I'll be honest with you. I've had a week. I have had a crazy week. I had to take off a couple days this week just to even deal with other stuff going on. And it was good stuff, really good stuff, huge blessings in our lives and that kind of thing, of stuff to have to deal with. But despite all that, I was so busy this week, and I'm confessing, I'm on the couch and you're my counselor right now, so just be ready. Anything goes. I was so busy this week, so busy, that I did not make time, the time that I should have, to spend time with God. There were moments that I prayed and thanked God for what He was doing and recognized all that, and I'm thankful that I had those moments and everything. But I'll be honest with you, all this week, I have been a nervous wreck a little bit. I have not had the peace of Christ ruling in my heart. And Paul recognizes something that we don't oftentimes recognize about ourselves. We love Him, babies. Come on. Don't be afraid. We you know, Paul recognizes this about us that we need to recognize about ourselves, and that's that a lot of times the reason that we don't want to follow God is because we lack a relationship with Him. That we lack having this peace of Christ in our hearts. When we spend time with Jesus, our life changes. Every one of us knows that this is true. Anybody that's been a Christian for any time knows that this is true. That if we spend time with Jesus, our life changes. Our outlook changes. Somebody comes, they do something against us, we're a whole lot more likely to go, "Hate that happened. I'm going to let it go, though. Nothing we can do about it. Let's just move on." Now, if it's just about us, they sin against us, they do something that makes us mad, they whatever, You know what? You know, any name your flavor. It doesn't matter. The sinful part of us, we just want to take all those people and just line them up and punch them all in the face, right? Karate chop them in the neck, in the throat. Steven Seagal style, okay? It's my Steven Seagal reference for the day. The truth is we can't do that. I mean, we could do that, but then I'd get to come visit you at the jail. And here's where we really struggle. Here's where we really struggle. It's not that we do go around punching people in the face. It's that in our hearts, we're punching them in the face. Right? This is the real struggle. It's a heart issue. It's what's going on inside that's really getting us, that's tearing us down. And Paul is speaking against it, and he's saying, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What you don't have to see Paul write is let the peace of Christ rule in your actions. You know why? Because if the peace of Christ rules in your hearts, it will rule in your actions. Goes on and says, to which indeed you were called in one body. In one body. Well, anytime I see something in Scripture where it says that we're called to do something, I pay close attention to that. And it's this understanding. Joey talked about this thing this past week. I was with a college group this past week leading a retreat. And in this passage, it helps us to understand something, that we're called to be a part of a body. And not only are we called to be a part of a body, but we're called to be one with the body. You know? In one body of believers. It's not talking about your physical body. It's talking about the church body, which, by the way, is the church. And we talk about that a lot here, but in case you're new, you know, we talk a lot about not going to church, but being the church. We want to be the church. We want to be Christ's church, that he would use us and that we would be the body that he's called us to be. The truth is this is hard to do. And you guys know, everybody in here has probably got some church story. And if we're not careful, if we had like open mic night for church stories, oh man, it would be rough, wouldn't it? I mean, we've heard some stuff. We've seen some stuff. People have been in some business meetings or whatever in the past. And I praise Jesus we don't have to deal with a bunch of that kind of stuff. You know, we're not perfect. We're full of sinners, okay? So we're not going to be perfect. But you know, we've all seen these things in the past. And the truth is that Satan loves to use that stuff against us. And he'll just get us in the, you know, well, you know, this happened, that happened. You know, I hate the church because of X, Y, and Z. And the truth is, we can't do that. We're called to be a part of it. You know, well, Chris, I can't be a part of something that, you know, I don't. Listen, we need to search our hearts if that's where our heart is. We're very blessed with the church that we have here. I can't tell you. And you know that. But it's good for us to hear and to be reminded. We were called to be in one body. And in fact, there's going to be some announcements I'm going to make today that we together need to be one body in. And some of them are going to be very challenging for us. It goes on, says, and be thankful. So let Christ rule, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And be a part of one body and be thankful. Be grateful. You know, and I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I tell you, I missed last week being with you guys, for being with this other group. And man, I missed it. Especially the last few days, it felt like it had been forever since I'd gotten to see some of you. That's because we're a part of a body together. And without one another, we miss each other. I mean, once you become a part of a church family, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. God uses us in each other's lives. Verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness. There it is again. In your hearts to God. You seeing a little bit of a common thread here? We've got thankfulness and we've got stuff about in our hearts. And this is all following him saying, bear with one another and forgive one another. Why is he following all that up with this? Why couldn't he just say it, be simple, and keep his mouth shut? Because he wants us to see these pieces are so huge and such a huge part of our lives. God wants us to understand that it is when we are right in our heart with Jesus, then we are capable of doing these things. I mean, verse 16 by itself, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That we would take the teachings of Christ, that we would take God's word, and that we would hold and hide it away in our hearts, that we would study it, that we would hold to it, I think is so important for us. I don't think that we realize how important it is, and it changes how we handle everything in this life. Changes how we handle our kids, changes how we handle stuff at work, at school. It changes how we we act toward one another. You know, I mean, in so many, in every way. And we know it. I mean, we know it, but it's so hard for us to live that out. And at the heart of all this, then we've got something like Paul throwing out there, forgive one another. And we're like, I can't do that. Well, no, we can't do that. But Jesus did. And because Jesus did, we can. Because he can through us. Let me ask you a question. How much sense does it make that Jesus would show us grace? That God would show us grace through his son Jesus? How much sense does that make? How much sense does it make that he would send his son? He would come down from heaven, like the most peaceful place ever, and that he would stay here for 30 some odd years, living this life and having to deal with all this stuff. In the midst of, at the end of it, being killed and murdered and punished on behalf of what we would do wrong against him? Parents, you understand this. Your kids come home today and they told you, hey, I'm gonna make your life a living wreck. Here's what I'm going to do for the next several years. And they were, if they were able to spout off all of the sin that they will commit against you and against your house and against your family. And they say, I want to do all this, but I expect you in the end to just be okay with all of it and just love me. And in fact, if I need you to, you can give your life up for me. And we as parents, I mean, first of all, I mean, once we got like, we'd probably get like halfway through the sin stuff, and we'd be like, I'm about to lock you in your room for the rest of your life. You think that you're something, and I'm about to show you that you are not, right? I mean, that's what we do. That's basically what we did to Jesus. And how much sense does it make that despite the fact that we would sin against him with our lives, that even still, he would love us. Even still, he would die for us. Even still, he would forgive us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It'll change your hearts. Change our hearts. Teaching and admonishing one another. Pushing each other in all wisdom. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness. How? In your hearts to God. You know what Paul's combating right there? He's combating going through the motions, isn't he? He's combating the whole, like, oh, just I'm going to show up, sing some songs. We're going to feel good about ourselves. We're going to go home, eat some fried chicken. It's a good Sunday right there. Yeah. He's calling us out. And he's saying your heart needs to be in the right place. And here's where it starts. It starts with putting on love. And this is why, because love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And you need to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And you need to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know what happens when we do these things? If we do them and we do them with our hearts and not just actions and going through the motions of being good religious people, which there's a bunch of good religious people that I'm afraid don't know Christ. And that's not going to end well for them. Sorry, we're having some issues. We don't want to do that. Paul's warning us He's saying, please don't do this. He's saying, look, let God change you. Let it be real in your life. And if we live this, if this is our heart, if this is our soul, if we're going to follow Christ in these things, and it's true in our hearts and it's not going through the motions, our lives are going to change. Praise God, our lives are going to change. We need God to change our lives. I don't know if you realize that or not. We just sang about it. I need you. Oh, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. Gosh, we need Jesus. I mean, we need him so bad. And he says, so sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs of thankfulness in your hearts to God. Even somebody that's mute can do that. Got no voice? Doesn't matter. Because he didn't say sing out loud. We got other scripture that talks about singing out loud and crashing cymbals and using stringed instruments to glorify him. Check out Psalm 150. But you know what? This is a heart issue. This is something that's happening inside of us. And in verse 17, he wraps it and he says this, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You go back up to verse 13, and it says, bearing with one another, if one has a complaint against the other, against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So how are we supposed to forgive? And I'm going to show you just a couple of passages that show us. Although it says right there, so here's the spoiler. You ready? Verse 13, end of it. So also you must forgive. How? As the Lord has forgiven you. So the question is, how has God forgiven you? How has God forgiven you? Check out 1 Samuel 24. 1 Samuel 24, we've got a couple of guys. We've got David and we've got Saul. And Saul was a king. And he was glad to be the king. And David was going to be the king next. And when that came down, that was going to happen and David was going to reign as king, Saul was upset about it. So upset that he went on the hunt. Imagine some kind of like fugitive Harrison Ford movie, okay? And Saul is on the hunt for David. He's going to kill David so that David can't be king and so he can still be king. And in the process of all of that, what happens is David on the run finds Saul, who gets away from his armies for a moment to relieve himself in a cave. It's all in the Bible, okay? Samuel 24. So David finds Saul, who is hunting him in this cave, and he draws his sword on him, and he goes to kill him, and he can't do it. And instead, he ends up cutting a piece of his clothing off, and he feels bad for doing that. And in doing so, he's standing there. Imagine this moment. You're facing the guy that's hunting you down to kill you, and you've got a chance to kill him. And David looks at Saul, and he says this in verse 12. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you. But my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancients say, out of the wicked comes wickedness, but my hand shall not be against you. You know what David shows us here? He shows us grace. Would you show grace to somebody that you know is hunting you down? David shows us that wicked men take revenge, and godly men, wait for it, trust in the Lord. I'll say it again. Wicked men take revenge. Godly men trust in the Lord. Do you hear the verbs being used there? One is take and one is trust. Wicked men take revenge because they want to be in control. They want to get their way. Godly men come over here and they say, you know what? Even though if it doesn't make sense, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to embrace the gospel and I'm going to go with what God is leading me to do. For us to forgive as God did means is that we do not repay evil for evil. That's tough, isn't it? And because we love to get people back, don't we? Yeah. Ever had your kid beat you in checkers? Next time you play, taking that kid down, right? That's what you're thinking. I'm going to teach that kid they are not anything, you know? God has called us to not repay evil for evil, and we see that with Saul and David. I want to read another passage for you, Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And by the way, I'll point out that we just read a passage a minute ago that told us to sing the Psalms. And I love this psalm, and the very beginning of it is a song that we have sung before, many of us, to God as a worship song. But I want to go down into verse 8, and I want to talk about where it talks about God's forgiveness. Psalm 103, verse 8 says this. It says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious." Now again, we're talking about we're supposed to forgive as God has forgiven us, right? So he says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious." How merciful and gracious are you feeling today? Because that's what we're called to. It goes on. "Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. How many of us, like with certain situations in our life, certain moments of our life, are we not slow to anger? I remember me as a teenager and me and my mom, we would tear into each other. She should have shot me with a gun or something, as awful as I was to her at times. And I've since asked for forgiveness. And thankfully enough, she still loves me. I think partly because she has four granddaughters now. And Aaron, because how can you not love Aaron? But it says, "Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide." In other words, he will not always reprimand, "nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." He doesn't give us what we deserve. And in verse 11, it says this. And I love this, and here's why I love this. I love when Scripture uses words to try to describe how great God is. Listen to this. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him." As far, check this out. This is what he does with our sin when we've asked for forgiveness through Christ. "As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." He removes our sin. He throws it as far as the east is to the west. Completely gets rid of it. You know what that means, folks? Let me tell you something. That means... Sorry, I'm going to try to fix this thing while I'm at it. That means this. It means that we don't have to live our lives being defined by the mistakes of our past. Did you hear that? Because some of you need to hear that today. You need to be encouraged with that today. You are currently defining, some of you are currently defining yourselves by the mistakes of your past. And the truth is that God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross that you would be set free from that. You're no longer a slave to those sins. And despite the little devil voice in your head that wants you to believe that you will never get past certain sins, yes, they may always be a temptation, but they do not rule over you anymore. You have been set free through the blood of Jesus on the cross, through him defeating death and the resurrection. That is amazing. And that's how God forgives us. And it's how we've been called to forgive others. You know what that means? Because see, we love that part. We love the part about Jesus forgiving us. Man, we love that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, right? We love that part. We love that Jesus would do that for us, but when it comes to forgiving somebody else, we're like, huh? I'm holding my grudge. Do you know what she said about me? You know? But God is teaching us that we're called to forgive like He forgave, and that means that we must forget. You go, Chris, I can't forget. You don't know what they did to me. I understand. There is a difference between a memory and forgiveness. Okay? God is calling us to forgive. He is saying, what I have done for you, you do for others also. Somebody make you mad? Somebody do you wrong? Somebody take your stuff? Had this kid, man, we were moving to Jolton, the great city of Jolton, when I was like 12 years old. And back then, I was huge into baseball cards. I still like them. I still full with old ones sometimes. But back then, I mean, like, man, that was like my life. You know, as a kid, I played baseball, and that was just baseball, baseball, baseball. And so at the time, like, the big deal, and some of you remember this, was a new baseball card company came out called Upper Deck, right? And Upper Deck came out with this set. It was amazing. And the number one card in that set, it actually is number one in the set, was Ken Griffey Jr.'s rookie card. And they took a gamble on this kid that nobody knew of. Nobody else was making his card yet. And they made him the number one card in the set. You know, this whole big story behind the card, whatever. Well, anyway, we're moving. Like, the day we're moving, this one of the kids that comes over is like a friend of mine where we were living up in Kentucky at the time. He comes over, and without me knowing, he steals a couple of my cards, and he took my Ken Griffey Jr. rookie. And, man, I was so mad at that guy. I look back on it now and I go, man, that's so silly. God has called us to forgive and forget and move on. Don't let this sin make you a slave. Jesus died that we would be free from it. If we're going to forgive as God did, it means that we forgive completely, all of it, nothing held back. We forget it. One more passage I want you to look at with me, Matthew 18. Matthew 18, we've got Jesus talking about forgiveness, and Peter specifically comes to Jesus and he asks him a question. And the question is basically, well, how many times, Jesus, am I supposed to forgive somebody? You know? And the way the understanding of this goes is, you know, you got to kind of read it for what it is. Because Jesus is kind of doing a little sarcasm thing here in the midst of this. And it says, verse 21, it says, and Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Peter thinks he's doing a good job. He thinks he's being holy guy. Seven times? What do you think, Jesus? Jesus says to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. Jesus says, forget seven times. 77 times. In other words, who's keeping count? We're called to forgive, period. So then Jesus tells this parable. We're not going to read it together, but I'm going to tell you about it. Jesus talks about this, verse 23, so I'll read that again. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And he talks about this king. He talks about this master. And he talks about his servant. So you got these two guys, and the servant somehow has come into debt to the king, to his master. And in coming into debt to him, the king goes to settle accounts, and the servant doesn't have the money. And normally in this situation, it talks about this, he would go to jail until he could pay off the debts, then he could come out of jail. Well, the king is about to send the servant to jail because he doesn't have the money, and the servant begs. He gets on his knees. He's like, please, please do, please. I'll pay every bit of it back. Just be patient with me. I'll pay it all back. I will make it happen. I'm so grateful for what you've done for me. Would you please have mercy on me? Would you please have grace on me? Let me pay this back. Don't send me to jail. You know what the master does? He says, you know what? Forget it. Your debt's cleared. You don't owe me a dime. You don't go to jail. It's awesome. It's unbelievable. It's what God's done for us. But the servant, he goes on. Sometime later, he runs into a guy that owes him money. And when he runs into this other guy that owes him money, you know what he does? He says, hey, look, I need my money. And the guy's like, look, I don't have the money, man. I really don't. And he's like, well, dude, I'm taking you to jail then. And he's like, no, please, please, don't do it. Don't send me to jail. I'll pay you back. And he's like, nope. I'm taking you to jail. I'm going to get my money. Word gets around. Because it's like Pleasant View, right? I know y'all never a part of that. Word gets around. That's a sin too, by the way. We'll talk about that one another day. Word gets around. Gets back to the master, gets back to the king who let the servant go the first time. And when he gets back to him, he says to him, he has the guy brought to him, and he says, what is this I hear? I hear that you had a guy that owed you money and you took him to jail so he'd pay you. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, did I not forgive you of your debts and let you go? And yet you do this? He says, fine then. You go to jail and you still owe me the money. And when you pay it off, then you can get out of jail too. Jesus finishes it off with verse 35. He says this. He says, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. There's that heart thing again. Let me tell you something about that heart thing. I'll be honest with you, I didn't like plan for that to show up a whole lot through this message today, but it's there. And it speaks to us at our core. That this isn't about actions. Following Jesus is not about actions. It's about our heart. You say, well, Chris, it is about actions. Yes, it is. I know, James, I'm with you. If our heart's right, our actions follow. It just happens. So if we'd be more worried about our heart, if we'd be more concerned with whether or not we're following Jesus in here and in here, then the rest of it's going to come through. And we know that. We know that to be true. So if we're going to forgive others as God has forgiven us, it means that we're going to do it over and over and over again. And we're not going to hold stuff against them. And we're not going to repay evil for evil. And it's just as it said in Colossians, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, and you don't have to turn to it, it's just one verse I'm going to read. Paul again is writing about this, putting on this new life, and he says this in Ephesians 4, verse 32. He says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, here you go, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. It's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to do because we're sinners. And we just think that we know everything. And it seems so much easier somehow to hold on to something against somebody. And dare we have to dealing with forgiveness, and might we dare go tell somebody that we've been holding something against them and apologize and ask for their forgiveness? Let me tell you something. A couple years ago, one of our college students that used to live here sent me this big, long message. And he said, man, I need to tell you something. And he goes into detail about ways that I'd kind of hurt his feelings over the years. I had no idea. I love this guy. Love him to death. And in the message, he just says, basically, to the point, I want to ask you to forgive me for holding that stuff against you. That's like one of the most meaningful things anybody has ever sent to me in my life. You see, even because love, because forgiveness is born out of the love of Christ, it goes so far and beyond that when we offer it up to others, it has the power to do things that we can't do on our own. It can heal relationships. It can do amazing things. And you go, well, Chris, I don't know if I still should trust them with like the keys to my house. I understand that. And that's okay. But to forgive means that we're going to move on. We're going to forget. We're going to let it go. And if they do it again, we're still going to forgive them again. And we're going to quit keeping our account books of records of wrongs, right? No more record books against people where, oh, well, you know, and this and that, we've got to, you know, forget it. God has forgiven ours from the east to the west. And he's done it over and over, and he did it yesterday for us, and he's going to do it today for us, and he's going to do it tomorrow for us. And he says, you do what I do. Forgive. Forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. Let me encourage you in this way. If you know Christ, Paul, in both of those passages from Colossians and Ephesians, is talking about us putting on a new life. The temptation again is to go, I can't do that. And I'm here to tell you today that you can because Jesus did. And it's because Jesus did that we have the ability to do so and that we see it. And it doesn't make sense in this world, okay? It doesn't make sense to people why we might forgive them, because why would that make sense to them? But because Jesus did it for us, and truthfully, let's be honest, it doesn't make sense that he would do it for us other than the fact that he really loves us. That no matter the junk of our past, he would still love us and still forgive us despite all that stuff is amazing. And it is powerful. And when we do that here on the planet Earth for somebody else and they don't deserve it, you know what happens? We're Jesus to them. And the power of God's love works through that. And it's amazing because it stands out in the crowd. It doesn't look like everything else in this world. Why? Because it's not of this world. It is God's love working through us if it's the real deal in our hearts. You may be here today and you may be saying, you know, Chris, you know, some of this stuff sounds good, like have the peace of Christ in me and to be able to love this love that is perfect and wraps everything up in a nice, shiny, big blanket or whatever it is. That sounds awesome, but Chris, I'm not sure I'm there. Here's the question for you then. If you're not there, have you ever trusted in Jesus to be your Savior and to forgive you? Because let me tell you something. He is the only way. He's not a good way. He's not one of the ways. He is the way. And he died on a cross to take the punishment that we deserve for the sin that we have committed against him, because that makes so much sense, right? That we would do that for somebody else. We would not. We're sinners. But that's what he did for us. And he wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. And he wants to wipe the slate clean. And he wants you to start over with this new life. And he wants to lead you. And he wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want your good religious stuff, okay? He wants you to follow him. He wants you to love him. And he wants to change your hearts. And the more we allow him to do that, the more we look like him, the more he uses us, the more he is made known on planet Earth through us living this life. That's our calling, is to glorify him. So, if you're struggling with forgiving somebody, I encourage you. You're holding on to chains that Jesus has already let go of. He's already taken the locks off of. Stop it. Move on. Maybe you need to go to somebody today. Maybe you need to ask for their forgiveness. Maybe something you've done against somebody. Maybe you need to say, look, I'm sorry. I'm convicted. God's led me to do this. I know it's what I need to do. And in my heart, I've done wrong against you or whatever. I've been holding a grudge against you, whatever. You're like, Chris, we ain't got the time for all the people that I got the grudges for in my heart. I'm just telling you, start somewhere. Let God work through you. Be let him be glorified while you're still living. Don't take this kind of thing to the grave when it can bring light to who Christ really is in us. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, let today be the day. He's speaking to your heart right now and saying, come on, let today be the day. Let's pray together.